So, welcome, Cam. Thank you.
Likewise.
As we were discussing before, many people have a whole lot of opinions about the teachings of the Buddha.
Yeah.
And almost always they're bringing in what they've known from the past that they've learned from culture or from other religions.
Yeah.
And from what they've heard from people who really don't know what they're talking about, but they talk about it anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
And the teachings of the Buddha are profound. They're difficult to understand because it turns everything that we've known upside down. Okay. And basically what it's all about is coming out of our delusions, coming out of our opinions, coming out of all the stuff that we've ever heard before, and just drop it all and just be happy. That's the real teachings of the Buddha, that in fact it's been quite known to be, that he said in more than one sutta, I think that it's in four different suttas, where he said, I teach only one thing, and that is dukkha, dukkha nirodha. Now, what is dukkha means dissatisfaction. All right? And dissatisfaction means, in the sense of smell, that we don't like what we smell. And that creates the self, I don't like it. If we just smell a smell and it's just a smell, then it's just a smell. And there's no I, me, or mine involved with it.
Yeah.
Right? And generally, the smell that we smell is what we created, not reality. Reality itself doesn't stink. It just is. So, if we can see the things the way that they actually truly are, then there's no problem. It's when we make stuff up about it, make shit up about it, is why things stink like shit, is because we made that shit up.
Right.
And you understand that, okay? So all the questions that you've asked so far have to do with all of that cultural baggage, all of that crap. None of it is needed. And what we really need to do is to clean that stuff out of the mind. Now, just today, I was in a conversation with an old student, and he mentioned the issue of him taking his head out of his ass, and so we played with that for quite a while. So we can now say that the Four Noble Truths are, everyone generally smells stink because they've got their head up their ass.
Yeah.
And all they have to do, the cause of it is, then, of dukkha, is that things stink because you're smelling your own crap. And the cause of it is because you've got your head up your ass, which means that the mind is full of all of the garbage that we've been fed. And all we have to do is take the head out of the ass, and that's all we need to do. All right? And the fourth noble truth, then, is the method or the process of taking the head out of the ass. Occasionally. Do it right now. Clean out the mind right now. And then clean it out again. And then clean it out again. It's actually quite easy to do. But we have to keep doing it because we keep putting our head back up our own ass, telling our own crap.
But let's think of it this way. The Buddha taught the way out of suffering. But when we watch some practitioners, like take, for example, Thich Nhat Hanh. He lived a good life and he meditated and he led a sangha, but eventually he had a terminal, like he was debilitated and he was faced with a lot of suffering. So we can see that there was a sickness that took his normal life away. So he was eventually into dukkha, a lot of dukkha.
How do you know that? Everything dies. Everything gets sick. Even the Buddha got sick and died. Everything gets old. Everything gets really old. Everything gets sick. And everything dies. And it depends upon your attitude about that. It does not depend upon do things get old and do things get sick, because everything gets old. Everybody gets sick and dies. Puppies die. Teenagers die. Old people die. But in fact, you're lucky, very, very fortunate if you get old, get sick, and die. Because your only other option is to drop dead early. That's your only option. Perhaps getting shot. They're the ones who were really unlucky because they don't live long enough to figure out that they got their head up their ass.
And what do you think of some of the longevity and health schools of Taoism where the...
Stay with this one line. This is the best thing from the Tao. The Tao that can be spoken is not the Tao.
Yeah.
You know what that means? Is that when we are talking together, that means everything is done conceptually. I speak conceptually, but I know that I'm speaking conceptually, and many of the students hear what I say and they don't understand that these concepts have to be converted into seeing reality as it is. And so you don't need anything other than that. There's a lot of good teachings from Lao Tzu and Chang Tzu. One of the best ones is from Chang Tzu, is when the shoe fits, the foot is forgotten. When the heart is right, for and against are forgotten. All right, now that for and against that he's talking about is that like the shoe, if you've got a stone in it, it's going to mess with your foot and you're going to not like it. This is exactly the same teaching that you will find in the Bible in Genesis about the story of Adam and Eve. Now, all of the Christians and all the stupid people in the world, they think that that story is about talking snakes and the woman did it first and it must have been an apple and God threw them out of paradise. But the story is not about any of that. The real story is that one has to, and every one of us has to put up with the results of our judgments. It's stated as, eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. So when you make something good and make something evil, you're actually destroying your paradise. The paradise is just real. So that's how we come out of our dukkha, out of our suffering, is by getting real, seeing things the way that they really are, rather than either how we want them to be or how they should be. Now, all the religions are a whole lot of, it ought to be, it should be this way. You have Sharia, you have Ten Commandments, you have English common law, you've got this and that and all kinds of stuff that parents teach their children. And uncles and aunts and siblings are all out there trying to tell the child how things should be. The child's not interested in any of that. What the child is interested in, what he wants. And so we go up in our whole lives are spent in that duality of how things should be and what I want them to be. And those are often at conflict. And the best way to handle that is by living reality. What's real? This would be the adult. When we grow up to be an adult, we're no longer the child who wants things, are listening to the parents tell us how things ought to be, and start living the way things are real. That in fact, this would be a good definition of the word God. What God is, that God is not love, God is real. Everything that's real is part of God. And everything that's not real is just a bunch of bullshit. And we make that up. And so when we stop making stuff up and start getting real, our lives become joyful. In other words, when we stop judging what's right and what's wrong with reality, then reality becomes a paradise.
Right.
So that's the real teaching, is that you make stuff up and then you suffer from what you've made up.
And so the way you're speaking is that there is no goal but to kind of live in the moment and kind of live in the peace and the joy of the now. But have you read the works of someone like Gopi Krishna, who's speaking about his...
No, I stopped reading long ago. All right, now, be here now is the only way to experience reality, because reality is always moving. It's a moving target, and so are you. If you're real, you move. And when you are stuck, then that's dukkha. And so people try to define themselves. In fact, the whole idea of anatta is that people for many, many centuries in the time of the Buddha and now, like Christianity and Islam and all the religions, they think of a permanent entity. Like, for instance, original sin means that you were originally broken and you can't change. You need the mercy of Jesus or the mercy of Allah because you're broken. The reality is that you're not broken. You just make shit up. And one of the things you make up is that the original sin and that you're broken. The reality is that here you are. Can you stay in this present moment? Because reality is not in the past. The past is gone. It's over. Reality is not in the future. Things don't happen the way we want them to happen. Things don't happen the way they should happen. Things happen according to nature. According to, in the Pali, is ityapapajayata. Dependent origination. Everything is dependent upon cause and effects. And reality is like that. And when you get in tune with reality, then you're at one with reality. So atonement and that one-ment is being in tune, being part of reality. But most people, they don't want to be part of reality. They either want things to be like they should be or like they want them to be instead of like they actually are. And like they are is a constant moving target. So it's time to be alert and awake to watch those changes so that you can keep up.
So you're kind of dismissing all the kundalini phenomena and spirituality and things like that.
A lot of all of those teachings are people who are out looking for something and then they're trying to describe what they found. And I would suggest that you drop all of that. Drop kundalini, drop this and that, drop rebirth, drop spiritual powers, because you don't find those things in reality. You find that in shit people made up, wrote books about it. They were trying to describe something that they truly didn't understand. That's why kundalini is described as a snake rising, where in fact the reality is that people shiver with joy from time to time. Why don't you shiver with joy and forget about kundalini?
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Just shiver with joy because you're real. You're alive. You're not sick. You're not old. You're not dead. You're alive. Can you see the reality of the situation and enjoy what is?
Indeed, indeed. Are you there? I think I lost you. Can you hear me?